would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f- if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names. It's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, it's back time again for another episode of the Cup of Joe Radio Show. I'm your host, Joe Vecchio. How are you doing today? Wake up, wake up, wake up! Get the hell up. Time to get moving. It's 11 o'clock on the East Coast. What the hell are you still doing up? Asleep. Crying out loud. I keep telling you time and time again not to be asleep at this time of day. Because otherwise you wind up like your Uncle Smarmy. You want to be like your Uncle Smarmy, huh? Who works at the fish shop and smells like fish. Excuse me. How's everybody doing? I hope you all had a great weekend. No news today. That's because nothing happened over the weekend. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know what the hell's wrong. I never know anything that's going on. All I know is that Bob said, Joe, there's no news today. So we're going to start the show right at 9 o'clock and not at 10 o'clock and not wait for you. So. I'm always the last to know everything. That's because of attention. That's a good reason. That's a good reason. I hope everybody had a pretty good weekend. It's a beautiful day. It was a beautiful weekend here in Chicago. The sun was out, but there was just enough of a breeze to keep everything cool. It was actually more like in the 60s and 70s. And when the sun went down, it was got a little chilly. My roommate and I did a little walking tour. They've got this thing going on in Chicago right now called Taste of Chicago, which is where a lot of restaurateurs they set up an area in downtown, actually down by where the big fountain is. Have you ever seen the TV show Married with Children? At the beginning, they got this big fountain. That's a fountain down south in part of town. But anyway, they got around there. They got all the restaurants set up their stuff, and people can go there and buy different foods from all the different restaurants and stuff like that. From what my roommate tells me, it's a lot of waiting in line. So it's going to be going on all week. I'm going to see if I can make a little jaunt down there to see what's going on. But in the meantime, my roommate and I had our own little Taste of Chicago thing. We walked around the different a couple of local neighborhoods. We started out close by to where we live. There's a joint called Wolfie's. Wolfy's. Wolfie's is famous for their hot dogs. In fact, there was a special about the American hot dog on, I guess it was the Discovery Channel, one of those channels like that. And Wolfie's was one of the places mentioned. In fact, looking back on it, I have actually eaten in three of the places that were mentioned in that hot dog special. One, of course, is Nathan's, which is good. As much as I like Chicago hot dogs, Nathan's are the best hot dogs in the world, as far as I'm concerned, bar none. But Chicago hot dogs are great. Wolfie's is the second, and the third place is a place out in Macon, Georgia that has this special red hot dogs that have like this red dye in it, and it doesn't taste quite so good, but they're nice. But actually, I didn't have a hot dog or a burger. So what we were doing, we weren't going to eat a whole lot in any of these places that we stopped at, and they're all little local type places, really. We just wanted to get a little bit of everything, and we went to four places total. But we started at Wolfie's, and what I had actually was some ice cream. I had a little ice cream sundae. They make great ice cream. In fact, I haven't had a bad thing at Wolfie's. I've had their hot dogs. I've had their Italian sausage. I've had a double cheeseburger. I've had a chicken breast sandwich, and all of it sounds good. Okay? All of it tastes good. I haven't had a bad thing there yet. And then we took the bus over. We took the bus down to the Red Line, which is the train. If you know Chicago, you have different, you know, Chicago has actually the second largest public transportation system in the country, second only to New York. So we took the Red Line, which was crowded as hell because the Cubs were playing, and the Red Line goes right past Wrigley Field. In fact, it also goes right past Comiskey Park, where the White Sox plays further south. So it's really interesting. When they have their subway series, it literally is a subway series. A train could take you to either station, the same train. And it was crowded as hell, but we got off at Addison, which is where Wrigley Field is, and we went east into Halsted and then south on Halsted, and went to a little joint called the Burrito Palace, Taco and Burrito Palace, that's been there for ages. And ladies and gentlemen, these are the best tacos I've ever had. They're soft-shell tacos, which I prefer. I can't stand the hard-shell tacos. Never could, because it's always just crunchy, and it always falls in your lap. It's crappy. No. These are soft-shell tacos, $75 apiece for a taco, steak taco, and they pile it on with lettuce and tomato and the sour cream. It's absolutely friggin' delicious. It is absolutely friggin' delicious. And at $1.75, you can get, you know, three for what? $5.25, and that's more than a meal. And you get a soda, you can maybe spend $6. And actually, you know, if you don't eat as much as I do, and three tacos is probably a lot, you can get by with two and a soda and spend about $5 and get a really good meal there. Ladies and gentlemen, these are the best tacos I've ever had in my life. I kid you not. You know, I mean, I've gone to Taco Bell, and Taco Bell's not real Mexican food. This isn't real Mexican food, because, you know, the Mexicans eat, you know, with what they eat for real. It's, you know, this is like restaurant American Mexican food. But for crying out loud, this is a great taco, okay? Really, really awesome. Very nice soft shell, with wonderful ingredients, and plenty of them. You know, you make a bit of a mess eating it because you got to fold it up, and, you know, it's not a burrito that's all enclosed. No, you got to, you know, but it's just worth it. It's absolutely worth it. And $1.75 a pop, that's a good price for a taco. From there, we went to a joint called Sparta's Gyros, and it's a gyro place. If you, those of you who don't know what a gyro is, if you live out in the middle of nowhere where they don't have gyros, or maybe they have them, what they call great wraps in the malls. You know, they're kind of cheesy versions of it. But a gyro is essentially a kind of spiced lamb meat in a pita bread with some lettuce and tomatoes and a sauce. And it's really, really good when you get a good place. And this is a place, and again, my roommate, you have to understand, used to live in Chicago many years ago. He moved out to San Francisco and came back. So, you know, he's going back and see some of the places that he used to know are still there. And Sparta Gyros is one of those. And he was disappointed in it, and you know, I didn't eat any of the gyro. I had a little taste of the meat, and it tasted a little dry to me. I didn't want to say anything until he said, you know, this isn't what I remember. I said, yeah, the meat tasted a little dry. It was a little dry. So, you know, I'm glad of that. So, but we continued down. And what we were basically doing, we were walking down Broadway and Clark. Broadway is like a major merchandise. That's not the right term. It's like a shopping district, and Clark also in certain areas. And there's a lot of yuppies there. And you know, I always bitch about yuppies and stuff like that. I went in, and We went a little further down, and we went down past Diversey, and we went over to a place called the Wiener Circle, which is famous for their hot dogs as well, like Wolfie's, although they weren't listed in that special, I don't believe. At any rate, we had a hot dog, and we had cheddar cheese fries there, and that was absolutely fantastic. Except when the cheddar cools off, it's not real good, but still, the fries were awesome. The fries were awesome. The hot dog was, of course, outstanding. It's a Vienna beef hot dog, Vienna beef brand. And they're very expensive. You go to the store, an 8-pack is like $4, which is a lot of money for an 8-pack of hot dogs. But they're damn good hot dogs. They are damn good hot dogs. And so I had a hot dog and some fries, and, you know, I was feeling full, but not really full enough. And it wasn't like we were eating a whole lot at each one place. We were just eating a little bit at a time. But one of the other things that we like to do while we're walking down the street, and it was a nice walk, we weren't walking at a heavy pace, we were just kind of walking and relaxing, is to look at the architecture of the buildings in Chicago. And it constantly amazes me how beautiful some of these buildings are. All these ornate designs on them. And we're not even talking about downtown. This is not downtown. I grew up in New York City. I grew up in Brooklyn. And you had some very basic tenements. six apartment places, a building that has six apartments, basically. And they're not particularly fancy. I mean, my old house where I grew up in, it's ugly, to be perfectly honest. It's ugly. But the buildings here, especially here, I live off of Devon Avenue, which is up north, over in the general area of Weston, which is an area known as Little Bombay, because there's a lot of Indians, a lot of Pakistanis live out here. Some wonderful supermarkets. If you love Indian food, you've got some wonderful Indian food and Pakistani food here. But the designs on a lot of the walls are very, very ornate. I mean, I really can't describe it. If I had a decent camera, I'd take pictures of it. My digital camera is like a piece of crap, to be perfectly honest. I'd take pictures of it, but it's just remarkable that people put this much work into it, and especially on the corners. The corners of the buildings in Chicago generally have rounded or hexagonal corners. Very few square corners here. And even on the sides of the building, sometimes they have little openings out, so you have bay windows for people to look at it. It's really, really nice. And Chicago is kind of famous for its architecture too. And that's, you know, one of the things we love to do. But it was real nice just eating at some of these local places and avoiding the corporate places as much as possible. I admit that I occasionally will go into a McDonald's and I might get, you know, a quarter pounder with cheese, or a double quarter with cheese, actually. Or I'll get some like an Egg McMuffin in the morning, and I hate myself for it, because I really have to learn to avoid all the corporate places and not go to places like that. So I like as much as possible to go to these local places, and really the food is just so much better when you get a good place. There's a little place we order Italian beef sandwiches from, and again, the thing about Chicago is it's not so much that the food is good, but the portions are tremendous. I mean, I've lived in places where you go to a sub place and you order a sub and it's just nothing. It's just a big lump of bread with a little bit of meat in it. It's like, what the hell is this? What the hell is this? Where's the beef? Where's the beef? But you order an Italian beef sub here, like from Villa Palermo, which is a delivery place we get stuff from time to time. And man, they pile it on there. There's probably a pound's worth of meat. And you order it deluxe and you get some mozzarella cheese and with some mushrooms on top. And it's, oh my God. Oh, my God. How much food is this? Even I can't eat all of it, ladies and gentlemen. Even I can't eat all of it. I cannot eat an Italian beef sandwich with fries from Villa Palermo. It's just too much. And I've got a huge appetite. Anybody who knows me, you say, Joe, you can't put it away. Oh, my goodness. But that's the great thing about living in a big city. You know, all the people out there who live in the suburbs, you know, when they talk about how wonderful it is and how nice and quiet, you know what? You can have it. You can have the peace and quiet. Let me be able to go down the street and get one of the best hot dogs in the world. Let me work downtown where I work near the tallest building in the United States of America and one of the tallest in the world. And I'm happy. And having a sidewalk to walk on instead of having to walk on grass. Walking on grass is nice if it's a nice, dry, sunny day. But when it rains, you don't want to touch it. And that was the thing. When I was living in Atlanta, I absolutely positively hated when it rained because there were no sidewalks where I was living. And I had to walk in the mud. I do not like walking in mud. First of all, it means I have to clean off my sneakers or my shoes or whatever I'm wearing before, and I have to wipe them off before really hard before I go into any place, because then it, you know, you track all the dirt and mud in, and it's just squishy and it's annoying every big city should have a sidewalk inside of it. Period. Should have all sidewalks. None of this other crap. None of this grass and dirt on the side of the road. Not for a big city. You want to live out in the suburbs and not have sidewalks, you do that. You spend $4 a gallon for gas, okay? It's a little bit early, but let's go ahead and take our first break. I'm told the toll-free number to call in is not active right now. So if you want to call in and talk to me, if you want to have if you've got a story about a local place, a local restaurant, a local fast food joint or whatever that you enjoy in the city and you live in, or even if you live out in the country, if there's a local place, because there are some really good local places if you go out in the burbs in some areas. Give me a call, 304-658-5912. 304-658-5912 is the number to call in. I'd really like you to give me a call and talk to me about it. And, you know, a lot of you out there, I know you have the free long-distance plan. Give me a call. We'll be back with the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
Hear it? Better yet, do you feel it? That's what Night Sounds is all about, and I can't wait. I'm so ready. He's going to change the way we hear music.
Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
Ah, yes, Cheeseburger in Paradise. I love that song. Jimmy Buffett. Cheeseburger in Paradise and Wasting Away Again in Margaritaville. Those are the only songs anybody knows from Jimmy Buffett. No, that's not true. Oh, and ladies and gentlemen, I love a cheeseburger. Good cheeseburger is paradise for me. And, in fact, my roommate was telling me one of the places that we didn't stop at, because if we had stopped at, we wouldn't have been able to walk afterwards. There's a little joint up on Clark that sells these half-pound cheeseburgers that are supposed to be some of the best in the world, and I love a good cheeseburger. And what I particularly love is one of those really big, thick, real beef cheeseburgers that's rare, not raw, but nice and rare in the middle. That's nice and juicy, and you know the type that you call an ambulance right after you eat it. Okay, you can literally hear your arteries hardening. Well, not literally, but you know what I'm saying. Yes, people get picky with me. You said literally. You can't mean that literally. I'm like, well, you know. Suzanne in the chat room. And by the way, you can get on the Head On Radio Network chat room by going to headonradionetwork.com, clicking on the link that says live chat, and going in there and you know, signing in your name and you know, get yourself a name and a password, and you can talk to some of the smartest people on the internets. We've got Benedict at Large. Our good friend Bob Kincaid is there. I'm there, ELO, the gal from California. Lutter J, however I pronounce that, and Suzanne are all in there. And Suzanne was telling of a Greek place, and she's making me hungry. Stop it. Called Baldi's out in Union City, California, where she lives. And, man, that sounds good. I love Greek food. I love Greek food. And, you know, I've got some Italian sausage sitting in the freezer that as soon as the show is over, I'm just going to go ahead and make those. I know it's early. It'll be like 11 o'clock my time. Well, I guess if it's okay for lunch, I'm just going to go ahead and make that. And, you know, and it's funny because not only did I go to the Wolfie's place, I also went to a couple other local places here. I went to a little joint on Devon called Levinson's Bakery, which is a little Jewish bakery that has some of the best friggin' cakes I've ever had in my life. Absolutely unbelievable. They got a thing called a chocolate ganache with a chocolate mousse and a chocolate, you know, with milk chocolate on the outside and a chocolate mousse and chocolate cake filling. Absolutely friggin' delicious and not that expensive. And it's like $1.75 a slice, and it's a really, really good slice of cake, ladies and gentlemen. And they've got whole cakes for like $19. Oh my goodness. And I got some rolls for the Italian sausages that have. And you know, I still haven't found a really good Italian sausage place here. I usually wind up getting the Johnsonville sausage from the supermarket, which are okay, but they're a little pricier, and it's not the same as the sausage that I grew up with in New York City, in Brooklyn, when we had the Italian festivals. I guess I'm in a mood for talking about food today. And we've got 4th of July coming up with the barbecue stuff. By the way, I'm told by Mr. Kincaid, our wonderful producer and the head of the Head On Radio Network, that we will not be doing any shows on July 4th, which is okay, I guess. I wouldn't mind doing a show. And by the way, today, let's change the subject completely, because I can talk about food all day and just you know, make everybody hungry. Today is the fourth anniversary, I think, of George W. Bush saying bring them on, and over 3,000 United States soldiers have died since then. Well done, George. Well done. They brought it on, all right. That's so depressing to talk about. It really is. That we have a president. And you know what? And it goes in terms of food. The president went out fishing the other day. Oh, I'm going fishing. Everything's just fine. I'm going fishing. Woohoo! Yeah! He went with his dad and one of his daughters. And by the way, why aren't his daughters in the service? They're old enough. Typical Republicans. Love war so long as somebody else has got to go fight it, right? But in a good analogy, if that's the right term for what's going on, a metaphor for what's happening in the Bush administration, their boat got stuck, and they got stunk too, but it got stuck, and the Secret Service had to bail them out. Obviously, the water were terrorists. There are terrorists in the water, you see, and they caused our boat to get stuck, and that's why it was. You understand? It's all terrorists. It was them fish. We caught that terrorist al-Qaeda fish, and we put it in the boat, and we're going to have Mitt Romney kick him in the nuts. Where are fish's nuts, by the way? Can you kick a fish in the nuts? I don't know. And the immigration bill died. And you know, I wasn't following it that deeply, but you know, I knew whatever was going to come out of it was going to be BS anyway. Our attitude towards that is so wrong. And it's so racist. Look, I'm the grandson of immigrants myself. I'm only a second-generation American. As far as I'm concerned, let everybody in. My attitude on immigration is a completely and total no-border solution. You want to stop people coming into this country as far as, you know, looking for better work, then help to make the rest of the world a better place so that when people do move to this country, they move for other reasons. And for God's sake, stop blaming it all on the people who are trying to come into the country. The Mexicans in particular, because it's all racist. You know how it is. It's all about the Mexicans. You know, we can't have them dirty Mexicans coming in. But, you can't have any kind of sensible immigration bill like that. Well, you have idiots running the country, that's for sure. But it's really all about racism, because nobody really wants to do the work of making the world a better place for everybody. They're telling you, they're pointing fingers and saying, blame the Mexicans. But you know, all the Mexicans are doing are reacting to policy that's set by other people, mostly old white people. And now Bob Kincaid is informing me that about 40% of all the illegals are non-Hispanic, and that's absolutely right. But of course, that's how the Republicans want to play it up. They want, you know, they're the party of fear, so they have to say, well, you know, them dirty Mexicans, they're coming and taking all your jobs. And no, they're not. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all the ships at sea, the Mexicans are not your problem. The problem is the people that set the policy. The problem is the people that take manufacturing jobs and bring them overseas, not because it's better business for them to build stuff where it's being sold, no, but because it's better business for them to spend as little as possible on labor. That's what the whole deal is. Because, you know, corporations in this country, the big corporations, if they had their way, if they had their total and complete way, we would not be working for a living. We'd basically be their slaves. And to a certain extent, we are wage slaves in this country already. I talked to Bob Kincaid about my own employment situation, and I work 40 hours a week sometimes. And even when I do work that often, I still barely have enough money to pay the rent. In fact, I'm going to be late on the rent money this month, again. Again. Do I like it? No. Does my landlord like to hear it? No. I feel bad about it myself. I'm not unemployed, but I'm underemployed. And, you know, I'm still better off than a lot of people in this country. And I'm better off than a lot of people in the world. And that's what sickens me. Because my life is hardly what you call a walk in the park, even though we had a nice walk in the park yesterday. Yesterday was just a nice, relaxing break from the constant stress that is my life and is the life of pretty much all of you out there listening to me. Because most of you, I'm pretty sure, are living paycheck to paycheck. And a lot of you are a boss's bad hair day from being homeless. Because especially if you go down south, if the boss has a bad hair day, they could fire you. And they don't need a reason, they don't need an excuse, they'll just let you go. Because they don't really care one way or the other for the most part. And then you wind up not having a living and not being able to pay your rent, not being able to feed your family. Or even take care of yourself. Let's go ahead and take the bottom of the hour break. Again, it's a little early, but I don't mind. If Bob doesn't mind. If he does mind, he'll slap me silly. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Advertising on the Cup of Joe Radio Show is both easy and inexpensive. Ads that cost as little as $5 a piece are a bargain when you consider that the Cup of Joe Show has an audience in the thousands for a live show, and that's not even counting the thousands more that listen on iTunes or at the archives on the White Rose Society. And all you have to do is email me at joe@cupjoe.com, that's CUPJOE.com, to find out how you can advertise your blog, organization, or product. What are you waiting for? Email me now at joe@cupjoe.com, C-U-P-J-O-E.com, and let Internet Radio Ads work for you.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the story about a group of kids who volunteered.
We fixed stuff. Did some art projects with the kids.
Clean up the park.
We worked in the woods.
I just wanted to do something.
We fixed up this house.
Did something for the planet.
Hey, that was all I needed. And you know what? It was great.
It was a blast.
At first, they didn't know each other.
I didn't know anyone.
Well, that didn't last long.
This guy is really funny.
Me?
These are my new friends. These are really good new friends.
Are you into it?
Are You Into It is a volunteer program for kids like you who care. If you want to make a difference in your community and make friends, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH or check out our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
This definitely made a difference.
I feel like I can do everything now.
Yeah!
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Call in, talk to me. 1-304-658-5912. 1-304-658-5912. Give me a call. Anything you want to talk about. We've been talking about food. We've been talking about other things. They've been talking in the chat room about the fact that Senator Leahy is threatening to take George W. Bush to court if he doesn't answer the subpoenas. And my lady's like, ha! You're not going to get Bush to do anything. You're not going to get Bush to do anything. It's going to take force. It's going to take force to get these guys to do anything. They haven't answered subpoenas before. They're demanding that anybody who does talk to Congress talk doesn't talk under oath and only talks in secret. These guys don't want anybody to know what they're doing at any time. Even if it's benign, doesn't matter. Absolutely does not matter. These people really believe that they and only they have the right to tell, to run the country and to tell people what to do. I don't mean just to run the country, but to do whatever they want, that they're above the law, that the laws don't apply to them. Like Dick Cheney's absurd proclamation that he is a separate entity, that he is not part of the executive branch at all, despite what it says in the Constitution. That he's part of the legislative branch because he's head of the Senate. And I'm like, what? Has the whole country gone nuts? And too many people are just buying this. And nobody's seriously talking about kicking these people out of office, which should have been done years ago. As soon as it became apparent that they lied about us going to war. In the chat room earlier, I was talking about, you know, the Washington Press Corps, which as far as I'm concerned, are, you know, they're complicit with the Bush administration and the Republican leadership and their financial backers and everything that's been going on, because they've been actively supporting it by their actions and their inactions. But I was saying that, damn it, what was I saying? I was in the chat room. Hang on, let me go back, see if I can find it. I hate it when that happens to me. I get moving on something, and then I lose my train of thought. But, you know, the Washington Press Corps is a big reason why we're having these problems. They're busy trying to cover their own asses. And basically what you have is an administration that's nothing more than an organized crime syndicate. That's really all they are. It's all designed to separate you from your money. And they're doing a very, very good job of it. And they are the best type of criminals, because the best type of criminals understand that instead of running from the police, you should control the police. You should hire the police. You should fire the police. That's the best type of criminal organization. I'm not saying that the police are crooks, but what I'm saying is you take advantage of the authority figures and use them to enforce your criminal intent. And I've been reading Al Gore's book, The Assault on Reason. I just finished it and I returned it to the library. And it's a really, really good book, but it didn't tell me anything I don't already know. And one of the things he argues that I agree wholeheartedly, that the problem isn't Bush and the problem isn't the Washington Press Corps. The problem is with us. The problem is that we have allowed this stuff to happen. There's something basically wrong with our society and with who we are. That allows these things to happen. And I really don't know what to do anymore. I mean, you know, I pretty much stopped posting on my blog because a lot of people do a much better thing. It's just do a much better job of writing about what's going on, but also because it's so overwhelming. And partly because I'm so stressed out over my own personal situation, just trying to, you know, get a job and not stress out over money, or get a better job and not stress out over money so much. But there's a sickness. There's an illness. There's an insanity that's taken over the place. And the Washington Press Corps, as I said time and time again, these people make gobs of money. Gobs of money. And they like to pretend to think that they're, you know, they're someone like me, or they have something in common with something like me. They absolutely do not. They absolutely do not. 30 or 40 years ago, when most of the people got their news from newspapers, before television took over and before you had 24-hour news cycle, the people who wrote the stories, the beat reporters, made pretty much the same type of money everybody else made, so that they could relate to the problems of the middle class, because they were the middle class. But the Washington Press Corps, these people make tons of money. They're completely and utterly useless. They have no clue as to what's going on with the rest of the country. They have absolutely no clue. And it's because the amount of money they make completely separates them from the reality of what's going on with almost everybody else in the country. We have an elite aristocracy. Excuse me. And they're telling us little guys what we need to know. And now they want to make it harder for us to get an education. If, you know, a lot of the Republicans in particular, if they had their way, they'd get away with all public, they'd do away with all public education. They'd do away with the public libraries. They don't believe that government serves any purpose except to protect their business interests. That's what they think the government's for, to protect the interest of business. And then the business interests will take care of, you know, what needs to be done in the country. And that's a bunch of horse hockey. Let's go to the phone so I can quit rambling. We have Michelle from California on the line. Hi, Michelle. How are you doing? Pull up a chair. Have a cup of Joe.
I'm trying to have that coffee. I need that coffee. And I've been in this chair for too long. Anyway, but good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
I really appreciate your voice, and especially from Chicago. I love Chicago. I used to live in St. Louis and would drive up to Chicago to see my sister, so had some fun times there, and good people. There are good people in Chicago. So.
It's a wonderful city. I'm really enjoying living
here. Well, good. I'm glad. I said something in the chat room. I love this where she lives now, there's this hardware store called the Crafty Beaver. And she says it with that, you know, Irish, it's the Crafty Beaver. You know, it's like the names of some of these places up there, I just lose it. But now the reason why I called today is I posted about this video I watched on with John Pillier. And he's this reporter, investigative reporter. He's been to Vietnam. He's been to, he did, I believe, in Chechnya before it was ever, you know, broken up, the USSR was ever broken up. He did investigative reporting. And the one thing he said was he was interviewing this poet, and this guy was talking about how, you know, the benefit of living in a controlled state as the USSR was that they all knew not to trust anything that was on the radio or television or the government, because
right.
what was coming from there was propagandist, and he felt sorry for Americans because they didn't understand, you know, they thought they were free and in a free state and didn't realize the propaganda that, you know, was being said to them, because obviously you assume that what you see is true. And you were talking this morning, why is it that, you know, these people aren't thrown out? And, you know, I hate to say it, but these representatives are complicit in allowing this, and for their own benefit. I mean, and when you talk about why don't we get out there, well, why don't we? Why do we allow this? And there's just so many reasons why it's allowed. So many, you know, in my perspective, like, you know, everyone asked how in 2004 did Bush make it? And, you know, I read a lot on that. I've done a lot of research with black box voting. I participated in the elections and helping, you know, in the polling, and was a poll inspector in 2006. And I can see, you know, just being in that experience, I could see where, you know, it's possible. There's just so much confusion going on during elections. Things,
oh, sure.
You know, the machines break down. I had two machines break down, and they never replaced them. So we have several elements to this factor of why these people, and don't think, you know, a lot of us think that, oh, Clinton was a great guy. Well, you know, it's funny because I don't remember the island, but this guy John was talking about this island that the Brits took everybody off of, and all the indigenous people, and gave it to the Americans to put a U.S. base on. And my husband was explaining it's a major base because they fly the stealth bombers out of there. You know, it's one of those fueling places. And these people were displaced by the British. And it's just things like that. And that's, you know, Clinton and Bush Sr. So what we, I think, need to do is kind of think out of the box. We need to stop seeing these people as representing us and start taking, you know, our true actions out to the public. And when I posted about, you know, the movie Sicko, you said you don't want to see it because you know all the information. But for me, the reason why I want to see it is it will help me to explain to others, you know, that even just the average Joe on the street, no pun intended, but, you know, people standing in line and talking with people. I think Sarge has talked about that. You know?
Oh, sure, sure. I think it's important for people who really perhaps don't know what's going on. And, of course, the big message of Sicko and Michael Moore is not that there are so many uninsured people in this country, and there are, but that the people who do have insurance in this
right.
country are basically getting ripped off.
Well, it's like I mentioned to my brother, born-again Christian, you know, totally supports what's going on. on with our government, you know. And I tried to talk to him about, in California we have health care for all campaign, single payer health care plan that they're trying to get passed, and of course, you know, Arnold's not going to do anything like that, but I mentioned it to him, and he says, well, you know, I don't want anything like universal health care like they've got in Canada. And I said, well, why? Why wouldn't you want this? Because, well, I just know it's inefficient. People can't get the care that they need, and it's so limiting. And I said, how do you know this? I mean, have you experienced it? No, I have friends that have experienced it.
Yeah.
And it's,
you know, it's like that whole thing. You've been hearing it for years. Don't go swimming until 20
right,
minutes
right.
after you eat.
Where it's opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's no one. It's never actually happened to anybody, but everybody knows somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody
yeah,
who
yeah,
knows
yeah,
somebody
yeah,
who
yeah.
had
yeah.
who had it happen to them.
Yeah, it's really sad that our media. I mean, I don't watch regular TV because I can't. If you separate yourself from like all this information feed, and you pick and choose what information, like say I watch Sundance Channel, but that's Sundance and Independent Film Channel. That's about it. And I'll tell you, just turning that TV.
You pay
off,
for all that cable TV just to watch the one channel?
Oh, I know. And it's so sad because that's exactly it. I mean, look at how many people. Now, of course, my whole family doesn't stop watching TV. They just get to hear me talk about it. So, oh, mom's on a roll again. So, but, yeah.
Well, you know, the thing about the propaganda, and if I can cut in here for just a second.
No, go right ahead.
I've mentioned this on the show too. There was a phrase that the Russians used to use called, and let's see if I do pronounce it correctly. Pravdia, which means there is no truth in the news, there is no news in the truth.
Yeah.
And of course, if you, as you know, Pravda and Izvestia were the two main news organs for.
Wow, I like that.
For them.
Post that.
So,
write it down. But yeah, you know, exactly. You really have to be an activist in the sense of finding the information that is truly information and not this, you know, I don't know, this tabloid presentation. I mean, like you were saying, Leahy's pushing about Dick Cheney, and, you know, what are they going to get there? I mean, they'll just take an executive order and write it up, or...
You can be absolutely certain that unless they go there with armed guards and literally take
right.
the stuff, what they need, that's not going to happen, because these guys are not going to give in. These guys don't care about the rule of law. They don't care about anything, but we've got the power, and we're going to use it, and we're going to abuse it.
Well, and I think, Joe, I think that we, in the sense of what I said by thinking out of the box, I really, really believe that we need to think out of the box with our representatives in Washington and even in the state, that, you know, these independent people that, and it's easier said than done, but even if we can't get them in office, we need to be able to get the voice heard. And the only way you can do that, and if you look at the Vietnam War, I mean, we all look back at the protests and also the protests, you know, Martin Luther King, and we think, where are the people? And they're there, but because people don't see it, because the media doesn't show the true reality, like, you know, the people that have stood up against the 9/11 Commission, the people that stood up against, you know, the Katrina and the whole coastal debacle that went on, they don't see this.
Well, you know, and the thing about it is even when we do come out in huge numbers, and remember some of the protests against the Iraq war, against the coming Iraq war.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
They were huge. But if you look at the newspaper, a couple hundred people showed up.
Right.
There were a couple hundred.
So what has it's like you all and this network. I mean, we just really have to support, and then we have to then go out and get it where there's just a little bit of an ear. Maybe it even like with Air America, call in there and say, you know, what are you guys talking about? You, where is truly the motivation of your liberalism? Is it to be the most entertaining guest, you know, or is it truly to get the information out? And,
right.
You know, push these people. And I know that there's only a few good voices out there, and I find them on Head On, and I find them on Novum, yeah. And, you know, we can't keep marching to this, we can't keep looking back. We have to start anew.
We have to start moving forward.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny you bring that up because...
How can we get... And a good example, hate to bring it up, but is Jesus Camp. This lady...
Oh, it's a good movie, yeah.
You know, I mean, she's like, I'm going to reach out to these kids. I hate to give that example because, boy, that was really... She really, truly used them, but... Who do we reach out to and thinking differently to get this information out?
Well, we've talked about this. I've talked about this time and time again on this show, and Bob has talked about it on his show.
Right.
All the hosts talk about it from time to time. And it's just unbelievable to me that, you know, when it comes to doing this sort of thing, the Republicans act like the liberals and the liberals act like the conservatives.
Right.
Because... They, you know, as I've said before, George Lakoff, who wrote the book "Don't Think of an Elephant," you know, he said, "Look, what the Republicans will do is they'll give $1 million to a think tank or a foundation or an organization or something. Say here, do what you need to do. The left will give $50,000 if they're lucky. You're lucky, and then they'll demand accountability for every penny. And it just doesn't work that way.
Right.
I mean, what we need at the Head On Network is we need investors that'll say." You do what you need to do. We'll just help you, you know, and you worry about taking care of the details instead of, you know, well, you said something that, you know, you offended one-tenth of our constituency, so we're going to pull all of your money right now.
Right.
You know, or we're not even going to give you money and prove that you don't need it.
Oh, yeah, no,
you know?
No, exactly. I've seen that with many of these groups. You know, I volunteer with Planned Parenthood a lot, and I was talking about my disgust for...
Wait, you did what with Planned Parenthood?
Volunteer for them.
You volunteered. That's the other thing. I'll interrupt you for a second. That's the other thing. They're always demanding that you work for them for free. Do the big people at Planned Parenthood, what do they make, six-figure salaries?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Do they work for free?
Exactly. You don't see them out there marching with the people. Well,
oh, yes, you do that, Bob. You do that, Babs. We'll sit here and we'll sip our coffee. You have a good time at the protest. And by the way, we can't pay you anything for it, even though, you know, we know you're losing your home, and we're very sorry about that.
Yeah, and by the way, can you give a donation before you go? Yeah.
Yes, exactly, yes.
Well...
It's terrible living here on this second-class Brie. We need to get the better Brie.
Well, I have to tell you, the reason why I did go out there in March is because I need companions, because I've gone out there by myself, and you know, you could do it, but it really wears you down. I mean, you really get caught.
It's no good. You really need
when you're in a clan, you know, it doesn't it helps a little bit. So at least I'm annoying some people, but and hopefully getting some information out to people. So I don't do it so much for. You know, I don't worry so much about that they're making money and I'm volunteering, but I do agree with you. I mean, where are they? Where are the big people behind Planned Parenthood? Are they out there marching? And that brings me to what I was going to tell you when I mentioned something about Dianne Feinstein. You know, she's a representative here in California, and she's just, you know, she's in it for herself and her husband, and she just really disgust me. And I said, you know, why do we support her? Why do we, you know, say vote for her? And they're like, well, because she's for women's rights, you know, women's rights to choose. Well, yes, but look how she voted, you know, Supreme Court vote. You know, I mean, look at what she's allowed to eat away, you know, at our rights. So, I mean, that is sad. That's sad that, you know, they won't think out of the box. They won't say, hey, enough is enough.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you think Al Gore is like that? Do you think he's only
No, I don't.
Himself?
I really don't. I met him a couple of times. I think that he, you know, he is outside of it. He's a little idealistic, and that was his problem. I mean, the DCCC mandated that Lieberman be a part of his candidacy. I mean, I really think that he truly has good motivation. But
I think he allowed himself to be used by the DCCC there, yeah.
Yeah, I also believe that he knows that the only way he could move forward with... He tried to sneak in the back door, let's say. He tried to compromise so he could... And that's what happens to a lot of them. They try to compromise with these supposed liberals that are in control up in Washington. And what happened was that, you know, obviously we know what happened in 2000, but the thing is that I think that he really, truly believes in much of what all of us, that, you know, that I've, all us true liberals and true dissidents, I really believe that he has that within him, but it's
well, I'm
hard
hoping
to
he's.
Break that
I'm,
wall.
Hoping he's, I'm hoping he's getting ready to run because you know I'm really well. While I'm not particularly, I'll certainly vote for any Democrat that comes out of the field as it currently stands. But I'm not particularly enthusiastic about anybody, even my
right.
own Mr. Obama, who seems like a nice enough guy and intelligent. But
yeah.
But you know, if Al Gore throws his hat in the ring, and there are indications that he's looking to do that around October, I guess, just before the filing deadline.
Right.
Then he's my man. Then he's my man. Listen, I hate to
cut
you off.
No, you got to take a break.
But
the
show's almost over. The show's almost over. We've only got another couple of minutes.
Oh, boy, I didn't know I talked to you that long. Sorry.
No, that's okay. You know, this is conversation radio. That's the one thing about Head On Radio Network.
Yeah,
we're not like, you know, I'm not like one of those right-wing talk show hosts who'll let you say two words and then just go on and on and on. No,
well, I love you all, and I love everybody in the chat room. So,
well, thank you for calling up, Michelle.
No, I'm always sending y'all good vibes. Okay.
All right, thanks a lot, Michelle. Michelle from California, ladies and gentlemen. And as always, I hate to cut people off because, you know, I'm just like that. I like a conversation. I like to hear what other people have to say because it makes me be lazier. But we are running out of time here on the Cup of Joe Radio Show, and I need to start wrapping things up. Thanks again to Michelle for calling. And it's always great when I have somebody call in and talk to me because that's when the show is much more exciting, I think, is when people call in and talk instead of listening to this crazy old guy ramble on. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been produced by the Head On Radio Network, our good friend and big boss, Bob Kincaid, running the boards out there in the beautiful studios out in West Virginia. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. And, of course, coming up next on the Head On Radio Network is America Back on Track. Until tomorrow, this is Joe Vecchio from the Cup of Joe Radio Show saying, hey, hey, get back to work.
I want a cup of Joe. I crave a plate of day. Throw in a jar of Joe. Don't put anything on. I'll chug a jug of George. I'll sip a mug of Doug with the creamer of steam. How many more does that leave? Give me a pot of Scotch. Heat up a pan of Stan. Throw in a handful of Dick. That'll do. Tray of Ray, I'll lick a spoon of Sean. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of Joe. Yeah, da-da.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
We were fortunate to have had Grady Hospital, because Grady Hospital deals specifically with people who can't afford to pay normally. And there's not a lot of hospitals that are like that. I mean, even as far as free clinics are concerned, Grady is an excellent, excellent hospital. And they treated my wife very, very well. But if we had had insurance, it would have been a different story. And in fact, when we were living up in Alpharetta, which is a suburb north of Atlanta, she had to go to the hospital from time to time because, like I said, she was sick on and off for many years, and she was kind of always sick, really, throughout her whole life. And when she went up there to get something taken care of, they were just real snotty to her because she was on Medicare. You know, oh, you can't afford it. You know, we have to go through all this paperwork. There is something definitely wrong with people in this country to treat people like that just because they're sick. There's something definitely wrong with the attitude that if you can't afford health care, then you don't deserve health care. And right-wing propaganda gets on the air every single day and makes you hate poor people for being poor. Was it Paul Krugman's article? Was it Frank Rich's article? I was trying to remember. I think it was from Al Gore's latest book, The Assault on Reason, which I'm reading. He was talking about how Neil Bortz was angry with some lady who was a Katrina victim who had lost everything, and was upset because of the slow response of, you know, the Bush administration, the people who hate government, who only see government as a tool to siphon taxpayer money into their friends' pockets. Organized crimes, essentially. And he was saying, why does this woman have a job? Maybe she should go into prostitution. Yeah, she could be like Neil Bortz. Because that's what Neil Bortz is, ladies and gentlemen. He's a prostitute. He's a shoe salesman. He's a glorified shoe salesman. And they don't care what they say.